might see what he's talking about. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, so good so far, petition, and thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now here's the thing. When we pray and we ask God to do something, how many believe if it's lined up with the will of God and the word of God, he heard you? Well, if he heard you, then what does the Apostle John say? He said, we know we have it. So after we prayed and we know God's heard us, rather than to keep on praying that same prayer, that's time to switch into thanksgiving, isn't it? You know, there is a prayer called the prayer of thanksgiving. Amen? There's all kinds of prayer. Paul talked about it in Ephesians 6. He said, praying with all manner, all kinds of prayer. And there's petition and request and so forth, and we did that. But he said, with thanksgiving. So after we know God's heard us, and we prayed that prayer of faith, we've made our petition known, then we can follow up with what? Thanksgiving. Amen? If you asked me for $100 and I gave it to you, would you keep on asking? No, you'd say, thank you, wouldn't you? Same thing with God. You say, well, yeah, but he's not all the way out of it yet. Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that right? Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. And so that's what thanksgiving, what, is a reflection, what, of our faith believing God's heard us. So tonight when we pray and we come to Gene, we're just going to pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Because all of you have already prayed. You've asked God to touch him. You believe God heard your prayer. God's working in his body. So what's left to say, God? We don't need to ask you for something you've already given again. We're just going to thank you for it. Isn't that right? Amen? You know, I don't pray every day to be saved again, to be born again, but I sure do thank God every day for it. How about you? Same principle. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we are so grateful, thankful to you that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. Oh, you are, Lord. Father, you never fail. Lord, not one word, not one promise of yours ever falls to the ground. But Lord, your word always accomplishes what it's set forth to do. Now, Lord, we here in this place and others here and many others and many other places have prayed for our brother Gene. Lord, we pray knowing that it is your will to raise him up, that by the stripes of Jesus, healing's been provided for our brother. We believe you've heard our prayer. We believe the spirit of life, the healing power of God is working in his body. And so now we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing, Gene. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you, Lord, that your healing power is at work in his body to raise him up. Thank you, Lord, that with long life you're going to satisfy him and show him your salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you show yourself strong on our brother's behalf. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for your healing power that's at work in our brother. You're the God who's heard and you are answering, and we thank you for it. Now, Lord, tonight as we approach your word, we thank you for the teacher, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, open our understanding. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of your kingdom and of your word. We thank you in advance in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. So, see, once we pray, Jesus said this. He said, when you pray, what? Believe you receive, and you shall what? Have it. Isn't that right? So when do we have it? As soon as we pray and believe. Isn't that right? So my mom always taught me when somebody gave you something to be thankful. Isn't that right? Well, that's pretty much, yes, that's right on with the kingdom, isn't it? We're going to look at, in the next few Wednesdays, I don't know how many we'll go. We'll go till we finish or go till we get through anyway. But we're going to look at some of the laws of the kingdom. Laws of the kingdom. In Colossians, turn there. We'll start there by way of introduction. Colossians 1:13. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. You know, if you are a believer, a born-again believer, you are in the kingdom. Let me fix my microphone there. You are in the kingdom of God. Amen? The church is a part of the kingdom. The church is not the kingdom itself, but it's a part of the kingdom. Because the kingdom represents all the rule and the reign of God. In heaven, in earth, under the earth, in the church, in the millennium to come, in the ages to come, all of that represents the kingdom. And when Jesus came, he introduced us to the kingdom because people didn't know anything about the kingdom. They didn't even know there was a kingdom of God. They just knew there was God. And, you know, really, if you look in the Old Testament, there's not a whole lot said about the devil there. If you go outside of the book of Job, you know, you don't see any reference. The only reason we see some things there is because we're looking at it in the knowledge of what? The new. But if you were, you know, if you were reading and you're looking at the revelation they had, there wasn't a lot of revelation about the kingdom of God. And the Bible says when Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom. He came declaring and revealing the kingdom. His words illuminated the kingdom, and his works illustrated the kingdom, demonstrated the kingdom. So here in Colossians, Paul picks up that same thought, Colossians 1:13. He says, "For he, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us," or translated us, "into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Notice the kingdom of the Son. Now the word kingdom there comes from a word that literally means a king's domain. A king's domain. And you and I are living in the domain of the King of Heaven. Amen. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are under, we are in his kingdom, and therefore we should be under his rule. Isn't that right? Now it's unfortunate that some of his, some of God's subjects are not subject. Amen. That's another topic. We won't get into that. But sometimes some of God's subjects are not subject, because subject means that I defer to God. My will defers to his. My way defers to his. My wants defer to his. He comes first. Amen? What he wants comes first. If it's inconvenient, it still comes first. Thank you for your enthusiasm. It also, kingdom also means a realm where a king rules by right and by law. By right and by law. And so we're going to understand this, and this is really going to be the crux of what we get into or hope to teach about, is because for many in the body of Christ, what we refer to as the spirit realm, the kingdom of God, the supernatural, has been, for most people, such a mysterious and unknown and unfathomable, seemingly, realm and concept. And we've got all these strange ideas about it, that there's nothing that really governs it. I mean, you know, miracles may happen. You know, there's no way to predict it. You don't know what's going to happen. It's just this, you know, this ethereal place where, you know, I mean, you're going along and boom, something happens. Somebody says, "How did that happen?" Well, we don't know. And then we just say, "Well, I guess, you know, it was just the will of God." But we want to get a better understanding by understanding the kingdom and some of the laws of the kingdom. Do you know there are laws, natural laws, that govern creation, aren't they? We're all experiencing a number of them right now. One of them being the law of gravity. Thanks to the law of gravity, you're not floating up on the ceiling. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. It's the law of gravity. And so when we talk about the laws of the kingdom, we're not talking about a law in the sense, you know, of some type of legislative law and you break it and pow, you know, you pay the penalty. But what we're talking about are certain principles. Let me, I want to read you some definitions of how we want to apply this word law, the word law. Law is a statement of a relation or sequence of phenomena that is invariable under the same conditions. It's invariable. In other words, a law means it can be repeated. Amen? The law of gravity doesn't care what color you are, what sex you are, what gender you are, how much money you got. Doesn't matter if you're in Australia or in Canada, it works. It's invariable. As long as they're the same parameter. Isn't that right? It's the same thing. Electricity will work the same. It doesn't care whether you're a male or female. It doesn't say, hey, you know, you don't have any money, I'm not working for you. No, it's a law. And we have to understand, in God's kingdom, there are spiritual law, there is spiritual law, and it's the same thing. It's going to work the same way. It's not one of these things, well, you never know what God's going to do. I don't know who came up with that. You need to read the Bible. If you don't know what God's going to do, then that's your fault. Because he said, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to you. Amen. If you lack understanding, if you ask God, he'll give it to you. So if you don't know what God's going to do, it's not God's fault. Isn't that right? And you know, a law will work for you whether you understand everything about it or not, won't it? Isn't that right? You know, you abuse the law of electricity, even though you do it innocently, guess what? You're going to get a shock. You're going to get a jolt, aren't you? And so when we talk about the laws of the kingdom of God, it's that same thing. It's like a mathematical rule. In other words, it's something that's going to happen. If you meet the conditions, then this is what you're going to get. Amen? Every time. This is why we don't have to wonder, well, I don't know. Man, how did you get that answer to prayer? I don't have the foggiest idea. Well, how are we ever going to repeat it? How are we going to get another prayer answered? Are we just having, you know, prayer accidents, a miracle accident? So what are we having here? You know, nobody seems to know. It's all by accident. That's not the way God did. Remember, God had a plan of salvation. He didn't have the accident of salvation. Are you listening? Who created all the natural creation with all the laws that govern it? God did. What does the Bible say? God is not the God of what? Of chaos. He's the God of order. He's the God that sets things in order, okay? It also means a law, as we're talking about here, a divinely appointed order or system. So the kingdom of God has laws that govern it, just like the natural does. There are laws that govern it. And we want to, as we look at this, we want to understand what some of those laws are. Now, we're not going to look at them all. I don't even know them all, but we're going to look at some of the major ones. One of the laws we talk about, and the Bible talks about a lot, we're not going to talk about it in this particular series, but is the law of what? Of sowing and reaping. That's the law of the kingdom. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh, what? Reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit, what? Reap, what? Eternal life. You reap life. Isn't that right? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I don't understand in the body of Christ why we get all uptight about that. It's just a law. People get all mad. Well, don't tell me if you sow some money, you shouldn't expect to reap any money. Well, talk to a farmer. If he sows an acre of corn, should he not expect? I mean, is he being blasphemous? Is he being greedy? Is he being a terrible person to expect to get more back? What a terrible thing he is. No, we don't think anything about that. But somehow when it comes over to the kingdom of God, and I think it's because we don't understand that God set the law in motion. Amen? God set these laws. So as we look at these, we're going to look at some of them. We won't look at all of them, but we're going to look at these and understand that it will work. This is why the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. Same thing with the seed. Tomato seed don't care what gender you are. It don't care what race you are. It don't care anything about it. If you meet the conditions, you plant that seed in good soil and water the thing, it's going to come up for you. Isn't that right? It's a law. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. If we fulfill, remember what it's, let me read the definition again. It's a statement of a relation or sequence of phenomena that's invariable under the same conditions. Why is it that we got answered to prayer? We met the conditions. Isn't that right? Why is it somebody got healing? They met the condition. Why is it that somebody got saved, born again? They met the conditions. Amen. Let's turn over, if you will. Let's look in Luke 17 just a moment. We're just kind of introducing it. We may get into one of the laws tonight, but we're introducing. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Now, Paul said, we've been translated from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the dominion or kingdom of another, which is the kingdom of Jesus. Now, these kingdoms are unseen kingdoms. Amen? Now, you can see the manifestation of them if you are observant as a believer, if you have any kind of walk with God and you're into the Word of God and listening to the Holy Spirit, you can have enough discernment. I'm not talking about some special gift, but just spiritual discernment. You can see the fruits and the working of the dominion of darkness, can't you? Amen? You can see it. You can see the corruption. You can see the death. You can see the fear. You can see the strife. You can see the chaos. You can see all of these things. What are they? They are manifestations of the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says this whole world system, cosmos, it lies under the control of the what? God, little g, of this world. What's he talking about? He's talking about the world system. The world system. And you know, the world system, it's going in a negative fashion, isn't it? Fear dominates it. I mean, you look at it, you know? If you watch the news or you watch any of that stuff, they're talking that they're operating under the cosmos, this world system. I guarantee you, you know, they might have a little bit of, you know, something positive, but I guarantee you, boy, they just can't stand it. They got to get over here. We got to get on that. Why? Because that's the dominion they're in. That's what's controlling them. But here as believers, see, what we need to understand that we've been delivered from that unseen world, and now we're been translated into a brand new kingdom. Now, it's an unseen kingdom, but it can be, we can see and understand things about the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom, and we can enjoy the benefits and the fruit of living in that kingdom. Amen? Luke 17. Verse 20. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, you know, because they, you know, they were looking at, you know, some king on a natural throne. Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, so where is this kingdom? The Bible says, it is within you. As born-again believers, having the life and the nature of God in your spirit and also the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, that's where the kingdom is. So here's the thing. You know, now here's, stretch your thinking a little bit, okay? Here's the thing. You know, many times, and I remember, and I may have shared this with you. I can remember we were talking about prayer a minute ago. And praying, you know, and years ago, 30 years ago, you know, you get around people and they talked about in certain circles about bombarding the gates of heaven. You know, we're going to bombard the gates of heaven. You know? And then I finally read over there where he said, come boldly to the throne. So ever how big, you know, Jerusalem is up there, if up in heaven, if Jesus is at the center and it's 1,500 miles, if you're at the gate, you're at least 750 miles off. I think you got your GPS got mixed up there, your God positioning system. But here's what we want to understand. We got to understand that the kingdom of God is within us. Anybody got any idea how far it is from here to heaven? I don't know. I don't know either. I'm just asking. Maybe you know. I don't know. But here's the thing. Remember, well, let's read over there. Turn over to Romans 10 just a minute. Now keep your finger there in 17 because we'll come back to that. Hopefully, just turn over to Romans 10. We're kind of going this direction, so we'll go there. I hadn't planned to go this way, but that's all right. And in Romans 10, Paul is speaking then, and we want to back it up. Oh, let's look in verse 6, Romans 10, 6. It says, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. You know, a lot of times we want, oh, we're going to pray the power down. Well, the kingdom of God's in you. I said, the kingdom of God's in you. Where is God's residence in the earth? It's not in a building made with hands. This is not the church. This is just a building where part of the church meets. Amen. My understanding, it's been all kinds of things. It's been a bar and a dance club and a A&P and a Lord Terry's. Who knows what it'll be. But it's just a building. But God, you know, and we need to understand this, because sometimes, you know, we get into this thing, oh, you know, that's God's house. That's Old Testament thinking. God's house is you and I. We are God's house. We are God's house. Notice what he says. He says, don't say in your heart, who's going to have to ascend up to heaven? In other words, ever how far heaven is your prayers got to get all the way up to ever how far that is? That is to bring Christ down, or who will descend in the deep? That is to bring him from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. Now we'll stop there a minute. Remember in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word took upon itself flesh. Christ in you, the Word, the hope of glory. In other words, we haven't got to pray, go, you know, get our prayers way up there somewhere to heaven. Listen, where is Christ seated? Yes, he's seated at the right hand, but where is his Spirit seated? In us. That's why the kingdom, Jesus said, the kingdom's in you. It's not way off somewhere. It's not way off in heaven. We ain't got to get over to Jerusalem to get our prayers answered. We ain't got to get to Springfield, Nashville, or wherever, or Tulsa, or wherever it is we think we got to get. See, all that stuff, that will defeat us. Because we thought, oh man, and I understand there are times when God's doing things and, you know, and we get into the presence of God. But listen, that's the exception, not the norm. The norm is that we understand the kingdom of God is in me. This is, and so the manifestation and the working of the kingdom, okay, is going to work what? From within me outward. See, it's amazing. We're always looking out here for something, for the answer. The answer is in here. Remember in John, 1 John, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And yet we're looking out here for some answer. We're running all around trying to find an answer instead of what? Getting alone with God and learning to what? To go inward and listen and seek God and listen to the Holy Spirit. Feed ourselves with the Word. Amen. The kingdom of God is within you. Back over to Luke 17. I hope I'm not belaboring this. But even if you know this, it's good to hear it again. Remind yourself. Here's the thing. He said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom's chief characteristic or the qualifying norm of the kingdom is the presence of Christ within. Remember what he said there? He said, where two or three of you are gathered together, there I'm in the midst. Where Jesus is, there is the kingdom. Where he is, the kingdom is. And where the kingdom is, there is the manifestation of the kingdom. Amen? When Jesus cast out devils, he said, the kingdom of God's come to you. When Jesus healed somebody, he said, the kingdom of God has come to you. Isn't that what he said? Sure it is. And so we have to understand that. If we're going to understand the laws of the kingdom, we've got to understand a little bit about what the kingdom is and the fact that what we're in the kingdom. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3:16. I'm going to read you something. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, but you can follow along in here. This is so powerful. So powerful. The kingdom of God is where the abiding Christ dwells. Amen? Because remember, we said a realm where a king rules. A realm where a king rules. That's the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Listen to this. I'm going to read from the Amplified. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Grace, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually? I'm going to read that again. Now, you know, I put Grace in there. He's in Corinth, but I put Grace. Do you not discern and understand that you, notice first, the whole church. The whole church. We are the abiding dwelling place. He says he's got his permanent dwelling place in you. As a whole, okay? And that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually. This is why, one of the reasons why God is against strife in the church. It's anarchy in his kingdom. It's totally antichrist. Strife and division in the body of Christ is antichrist. That's not of the kingdom. That's of the other kingdom. Remember, Lucifer was the one that we first know that brought about strife and dissension. What happened to him? Well, shouldn't that cause us to have fear and trembling about our own self if we want to create the same thing? Hello? Remember what Jude said? He said, if the angels who kept not their first estate but met with an equal punishment, he said, don't think you're going to escape. Oh, boy. But you know, it amazes me. We're so easily drawn into that in the body of Christ. We think nothing about being critical. We think nothing about judging one another. And he said, yeah, listen, that's antichrist. Don't get sucked into that. Don't get sucked into that. So here he says, he is making his permanent abiding place in us. Now think about that. I'd encourage you, just, you know, that's worth the price of admission alone tonight. To just meditate on that God has his permanent dwelling place in me. What does that mean? What does that mean? What if Jesus, in his flesh and bone, doesn't have flesh and blood anymore, flesh and bone, resurrected body, what if he came to live at your house? And he says, I'm moving in permanently. Hallelujah. Did you stay up night worrying? Oh, what are we going to do, honey? I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, it would change everything, wouldn't it? And so we need to remind ourselves. We're talking about the kingdom of God here. We're going to talk about the laws of the kingdom. But first, we've got to understand what the kingdom is. The kingdom is now. It's in us. He's living in you. It's a permanent situation. You're out of that kingdom of darkness. Now you're in the kingdom of his Son. And we should live that way. We should understand that. We should be cognizant and conscious of the indwelling Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. You know, when I'm conscious of the Spirit of God, I can't do and say some things I would normally do. Amen. So some of the laws of the kingdom we need to understand. Now, just some of them that we're going to look at in this study. And like I say, there are many, many more. Okay? If we looked at them all, I don't know them all, but if we just looked at just the ones I'm aware of, we could be here for months, if not longer. But here's some that we're going to look at in the process of time as we learn about the kingdom. Because if we discover the laws of the kingdom, okay, then we're going to understand how that we begin to rule. And, well, first of all, we learn how Jesus rules and reigns, and then we will understand how we are called to rule and reign alongside him. Are you listening? Because our problem is we read that, you know, we read over there about, yeah, we're called to rule and reign with him, and we just take off. And we substitute human governments and human methods and human ways of doing things. And they're really not human ways. They're the kingdom of this world. And I'm telling you, to try to mix the ways of the kingdom of this world and get them to operate in the kingdom of God is like trying to mix oil and water. You can get them in the same container. You can stir them as hard as you want and as many times as you want, but there will always be a clear separation. It's just hard to get fire and water to mix. Something's going to give. Isn't that true? So if we're going to rule and reign, we've got to understand what are the laws of the kingdom, because this is how the king is ruling. This is how he exercises his rule. Jesus is not just sitting up there and in a capricious way, you know, making arbitrary decisions. Bless this one. No, not that one. Yeah, I like him. No, I don't like her. You know, if you think about it, if you've ever studied a little bit about the Greek culture and the Greek mythology, that was the way they viewed the Greek gods. The Roman Empire and the Greeks, they viewed the gods as really, if you look at them, they had many what we would call fleshly human qualities. And among them was that capriciousness. They never knew whether they were going to be in favor or out of favor, whether, you know, they were going to like them today and you're going to be burned up tomorrow. Nobody knew. And so they were constantly under this dread and fear and this system of trying to appease and please the gods and all of that. And I'm concerned that sometimes we've brought that kind of attitude over into the church, into the kingdom. We don't understand that God's kingdom works by laws of the kingdom. Amen? Do you know you can get somebody born again on purpose? Yeah. Yeah, it don't have to just be, oh, I didn't even know that was going to happen. No. No. If you don't believe that, go talk to Billy Graham. He's gotten millions born again on purpose. Hadn't he? You listen to Billy Graham, I don't care what he's talking on. Sooner or later, he's going to talk about plan of salvation, isn't he? That's what God called him to. He's going to talk about it because he wants to, on purpose, get people saved. Why? He understands salvation is a law. It's a kingdom law. If I preach the gospel and people will listen, faith will come, and if they will respond to that, they'll get born again. It'll happen every time. It'll happen to whosoever will, wherever they are. Well, if one of the laws of the kingdom will work that way, they all will work that way. So we need to understand that, you know. So we don't have to, you know, try to, you know, I don't know, you know, can we, you know. And, of course, us full gospel people, let's all say amen, we've been the worst. We should know better. We've been the worst at that sometimes. Some of the laws we're talking about here whereby Jesus rules and reigns and governs his kingdom, and we understand those. And when we understand those laws, we also can enter in as a co-laborer with him to rule and reign. Because here's the thing. You know, a lot of times we try to get Jesus, or we try to get the Holy Spirit, or we try to get the Father to do things our way. Hello. How many of you know you ain't got that to work yet, have you? Me neither. Why? Because what? He's the king. He set up the dominion. He set up the reign. And he said, this is how it's going to be done. It's going to be done through what? These laws of the kingdom. And so the reason being is that we can understand, hey, if I can get a person saved this way, then you know what? The next time I can get somebody saved that way, the next time I can get somebody saved that way, I can get 2 people, I can get 10 people, I can get 100 people, I can get 1,000 people saved that way. If I can get one person healed this way, I can get another person. What's the difference? See, in our mind, we think, oh, one thing's harder than the other. Not to God. Not to God. That's just our own human perception. Isn't that true? Which is harder for God to heal? Which is the hardest disease for God to heal? Somebody name it. See, that's our human perception, isn't it? We hear about somebody, oh, they got such and such type of cancer. Oh, my God. We just fall all to pieces. And, you know, but if we come to understand the kingdom, that won't be any more of a strain to pray for that than it is to pray for a headache.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it's the law of the kingdom. Amen? Okay. At least meditate on it. Think about it. Now, what are some of the laws that we're going to look at? One of them is called the law of faith. Now, I'm just going to give a synopsis here. Law of faith. Turn to Romans 3. Did you know that faith is law? The law of faith. You know, you don't have to have a faith accident. Hey, man, you can believe on purpose. You can exercise faith with a purposeful end in mind. As a matter of fact, that's the only way God has intended for us to exercise faith. You know, if you got this vague idea, well, I'm just trusting God. And I've heard a lot of people say this over the year. And, it's kind of like, there's just this vague, I'm trusting God. Well, what are you trusting Him for? I'm just trusting God, bro. Well, what for? I mean, that's all good, but what for? What are you trusting Him for? Amen? Because the law of faith says there's a law of faith there. Isn't that right? You can't, this is where we get mixed up and we get messed up sometimes. Now, we'll talk about all of these laws in detail, but in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, he said, where then is boasting, talking about salvation, it is excluded. On what principle or what law? On that of observing the law of Moses? No, but on that of faith. In other words, what? Not the law of Moses, but the law or the principle of what? Faith. How are we justified? The law of faith. The law of faith. If it's not a law, what is it? I mean, somebody said, well, I just don't believe that, faith is a spiritual law. Well, what is it then? How do we handle it? When do you know you got it? How do you know if you're exercising it right? How do you know if it's working? See, we get all religious about it. And and that's where we come up, with this idea, well, you never know what God's going to do. We're just going to wait and see. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait till I die to find out if I'm going to make it to heaven. That probably is not a good strategy. Because if you're wrong, boy, that's it. Isn't that right? No, don't we talk about people having a no-so salvation? Well, if there's not a law of faith, how can they have a no-so salvation? We got to go back again. It's the arbitrariness of God. It's the capriciousness of God. Some He saves, some He doesn't, and there's no way to know until you die. But if there's a law of faith, then we can begin to understand, how does faith operate? What are the conditions? What is it based on? Where does this faith come? We'll talk about some of that. Okay? Turn to James 2:8. We're just kind of introducing these, and then we're going to endeavor to get into detail in the lessons ahead. James chapter 2, verse 8, we're going to talk about another law of the kingdom besides the law of faith is the law of love. The law of love. See, here again, in the kingdom of this world, okay, most laws are attached, or principles like this are attached to feelings. Okay? I'm talking about that dominion of darkness, this natural world. I feel like I have faith, whatever that is. And especially when we get into this love area, it's all about, you just don't know how I feel about them. Both positive and negative. Amen? And it's all based on feeling. It's not a law. It's some, and how many know feelings are capricious? Aren't they? Man, you go to bed, everything's wonderful, everything's great. You get up the next morning, nothing's really changed that you can see except what? Your feelings. But, I mean, it's like Florida weather, isn't it? It just changes, You don't know why, it just changes. But the law of love, because it's a law, a principle of the kingdom, it is unchanging. It is unchanging. It's not a feeling. I love you all the time. Doesn't matter what you do, what you don't do, how I feel, how I don't feel, I still love you. Because it's not a feeling. It's a law. Principle. Remember what we said. A law, as we're talking about it, is a relation or sequence of phenomena that's invariable under the same conditions. In other words, as long as I'm living by the Spirit, I'm living subject to the kingdom of God, what? Love never changes. Love never fails. Isn't that right? Love always, 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 not most time, always believes the best of everybody else. It's a law. It's not a feeling. If you went by feelings, I like that. We all got that. Isn't that right? James chapter 2, I'm sure you found that a long time ago. Let me get over there. James here is talking about the royal law. He said, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture. Now, what is this royal law? Love. Love your neighbor as yourself. love. The love of God. The agape. We're going to talk about it. It's a law of love. And actually, this is the highest law in the kingdom. It's the highest or greatest, however you want to say it, the greatest law of the kingdom is the law of love, because it says love never fails. Hallelujah. It never fails. In other words, if you walk in love, if you live by love, remember we're talking about how do we rule and reign? God rules and reigns in love, doesn't he? How are we going to rule and reign in our life? How are we going to demonstrate the kingdom and the rule of God in our lives and through our lives? Well, one of those principles or laws we're going to have to learn is the law of love. God loves at all times. Amen? God doesn't wake up one day and say, you know, I just don't feel like I like Alan anymore. It's not going to happen. And see, if we will allow our lives to be governed by the laws of the kingdom, then it's the same for us. And once we learn this, we can tell, because how many know your fleshly, natural part of you is still subject in some ways to the dominion of this world? If you don't believe that, let me come step on your toe. It is, isn't it? That's why you see your body will have feelings, and those feelings try to pull you back over into this natural dominion, this natural world, and get you to think and to live and to govern your life by it. But the laws of the kingdom, they're always supersede. You know, we talk about God being supernatural. And a lot of times, you know, we've even with that, we've kind of gotten to supernatural. You know, all super just means is above, greater than. He is greater than. So these laws of the kingdom we're talking about, they are greater than what? The natural laws. Amen? Faith is greater than fear. Amen? Health and healing is greater than sickness. Because one of the laws we're going to talk about is called the law of the Spirit of life. Turn over to Romans 8:2. There's a law of the Spirit of life. Romans 8:2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death operates in the dominion of Satan and darkness, the god of this world. The law of the Spirit of life operates in the kingdom of Christ Jesus. And you are going to be living and allowing one or the other to govern you. And we're going to talk about that. See, some people say, oh, Pastor, pray for me for this, that, or the other. What good would it do? I mean, I don't tell them that, but I think it. Because you're over here, you're living your life subject to the dominion of darkness. I can pray all I want to. How many believe that God wants everybody to be saved? How many know everybody's not saved? Isn't that right? Well, what's wrong with God? Well, see, here's the thing. Pastor, for example, let's say, Pastor, pray for me for peace. Why? You're going to go worry. It's useless. I'm wasting my time and yours. We're not wasting God's, because he's just like, well, bless their heart, they'll get it. Isn't that right? You know. That's like you saying, Pastor, now I'm getting ready to go drive my car off a 600-foot cliff. Pray that it'll float. You're not going to pray and suspend the laws of gravity? Are you? If you do, I want to come watch you do it. I've never seen that. No, it's not going to happen, is it? But yet, see, people say, but people, because they don't understand spiritual law, they just think, you know, it's Christian magic. The pastor will pray, you know, a certain way, and no matter what I think, no matter where I let my mind go, no matter what I do, pastor prayed will be bigger. It'll just X all that out. No, it won't. Nobody has better intentions for you than God. But his intentions won't do you any good unless you do what? You got to do something with the kingdom. Law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. You know, Satan in his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, is just a perversion. He has never created anything. He has perverted what God created. That's all sin is a perversion. Death is a perversion of life. Sickness and disease is a perversion of health. Fear is a perversion of love. Doubt and unbelief is a perversion of faith. Just go right on down the line. The law of the Spirit of life, the law of sin and death. Which kingdom are you going to operate in? And your flesh and your natural mind want to keep you connected to that old kingdom. But God says, get your mind renewed through the Word of God. Spend time and get sensitive to the indwelling Spirit of God. The kingdom of God's in you. And learn how to live, rule, and reign in this life through the laws of the kingdom. Another one we're going to look at is called the law of spiritual authority. Turn to Mark 16. Mark 16. Now remember, we're going to get into these in detail. I'm just kind of, hopefully, whetting your appetite. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name," listen now, "in my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well." The law of spiritual authority. Jesus here has delegated a degree of authority to you and I as his representatives here in the earth. He says, take my name. In my name, I am authorizing you to go do these things. And if we don't do them, they will not get done. Amen? Angels can't preach the gospel. I said, angels can't preach the gospel. You remember, you know the story about Cornelius. Cornelius had been praying and given to God. And an angel appeared to him. You know, if an angel could have preached the gospel, that angel would have just preached it right there. But he said, you know, he said, your prayers and your alms given has come up to God. He said, now send, men to Joppa for one Peter, who will come and tell you words whereby you and your household can be saved. Remember that story? And so, you know the story. Peter had the vision, you know, because, you know, he was being a Jew. I mean, he couldn't go into no Gentile house, you know. I mean, you think about it. This is 10 years after Pentecost. I mean, they're saved. They're filled with the Spirit for 10 years, and they still don't know that the Gentiles can be saved. You know, just because you got the Holy Ghost don't mean you know everything. Isn't that right? What one brother said, he said, you're just getting ready to learn, man. That's probably right, isn't it? But the law of spiritual authority. God has authorized us to do some things. What? To preach the gospel, didn't he? And man, you got a big territory. He said, all the world. The world's your oyster. All the world. Didn't he say that? He said, in my name. What are they going to do? He said, you can drive out, cast out, what? Demons. He's given you authority over demonic power. He said, in my name. He said, what? You can speak with new tongues. In my name, he said, you can lay your hands on the sick. They will get well. It's the law of spiritual authority. Amen? He has given us the keys of the kingdom, his name, a commission, and the empowering of the indwelling Spirit in the law of spiritual authority. This is why a lot of times things we're praying for God to do, and we don't seem to, it doesn't look like God's listening or God's doing anything, because he said, hey, I've given you authority, go do something with it. Amen? I mean, if you came to me and said, you know, Brother Norris says, I got me a job and everything, but I ain't got no way to get to it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, you know what? I got an extra car here. You just take this. You can have it. You drive it to work, and, you know, you just take it. I just want to bless you with it. The next morning, about 5:30, you call and wake me up. Pastor Norris, could you come over here and give me a ride? I need to get to work. I ain't got... Well, what happened to that car I gave you? Well, I know you gave me that car, but I'd just feel better if you came over here and gave me a ride. Well, I wouldn't feel better. Not at 5:30 in the morning. But, see, this is what it is with God. God says, he said, in my name you do thus and thus, and yet we're hollering, God, come do this. Come get the devil off. Come get drive the devil out of my house. Get the devil off of my life. He said, in my name you do it. Just like the angel couldn't go preach the gospel, God's not going to come down and run the devil out of your house. Now, he will empower you to do it through the law of spiritual authority. We'll talk about that. Okay. And then turn to Galatians 5:1. Just the last one that we're going to look at in the study as we get. Now, remember, we're just introducing them tonight. Galatians 5:1, something I call and refer to as the law of liberty. The law of liberty. Listen to this. 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. By yoke of slavery. How many of you know that the dominion, the kingdom of darkness, its chief characteristic is bondage and slavery. The kingdom of darkness. It will present things as being liberating, as being for your benefit, as being so pleasurable, so enjoyable, so good, so broad-minded. We're really, but as soon as you enter into that thing, you find out that there is a hook in the bait. And just like that fish who does not see the hook and grabs the bait, and the next thing he knows, it's hooked. That is the kingdom of darkness. But now we see where it says, now Christ has set us free or given us liberty. So here's the thing. In the kingdom of God, there is freedom, and there is to be freedom from every enslaving bondage of that old kingdom. That's where peace comes. That's where real freedom comes. That's where real joy comes. Amen? And all of a sudden, I'm free from the pull of this world. I'm free from the lust of this flesh. I'm free from the deceptions of the enemy. I'm free from what, everybody else might think about me. Men pleasers. Isn't that true? All kinds of things. We can make a list, and we'll talk about this more in the process of time. But he said he's come to set us free. He didn't come to put us in bondage. He came to set us free. So this kingdom, the laws of the kingdom, and we're going to be looking at these laws in the process of our study and getting in more in depth, and we're going to see how God operates in these laws, and then how he has revealed them to us through his word and by his spirit, so that what? We can rule and reign. Amen? Cindy and I went for an overnight cruise to the Bahamas, And it was interesting because when you get there, they were ruled by a different kingdom, England. So when you get there, they have the funniest customs. One of them is that the steering wheel on the cars are on the wrong side. And they drive on the wrong side of the road. I never in my life. Of course, if you talk to one of them, the perspective is different, isn't it? If I went over there and I tried to drive on the right side of the road over there, I'm going to have a wreck or call somebody to have one, aren't I? Because what? I'm still operating by the laws of this kingdom here in the United States. We drive on the right side here. That's the right way. But isn't that true? We come into the kingdom of God. We've been trained, unbeknownst to us, but we've been trained to operate in this kingdom, the cosmos of the God of this world. We've been trained that way to go to live by our reason, to live by our feelings, to do all those things. That's the way it's supposed to be done. You crazy preacher. be telling us now that you're trying to tell me that all this time I'm driving on the wrong side of the road? No, I'm not trying to tell you that. God's trying to tell us that. And so as we discover this, it's going to take some rethink, reprogramming. The Bible calls it renewing. So that we begin to understand this new kingdom. Most of us grew up in the old kingdom. We know how that works. I can do that without thinking about it. Isn't that right, man? But here's the thing. God says, remember this. He said, now you're in a new kingdom and a new ruler. And there are new spiritual laws that are to govern you. And I want to tell you, when you get in them, it's just like the Bible says, it's completely liberating. Completely liberating. You know, you might as well get used to it now because you're going to be living in it for a long time. Amen. People up in heaven right now, they're living according to the kingdom. They're not living according to this stuff down here. Amen. They don't care if you've got a new car. I don't impress them. They're walking on gold. Well, they impressed with your car. Is that right? They're walking in complete freedom, complete peace. But here's the thing. We ought to be able to, and we can achieve a great measure of that even in this world. But, it won't just fall on you. Oh, I'm a Christian. It'll all come up. Nope. Why? There's resistance here. And a lot of the resistance is our flesh and the old way of thinking. It's trained the other way. So in the next few sessions, lessons, we're going to look at it. We're going to start, Lord willing, next week. We'll get into this, the law of faith. We'll talk about it and get into it in detail. The kingdom of God is not just mysterious, unknowable, there's a veil there. do you know that most of that is Eastern religious thinking and philosophy? It is. It's not Christian at all. Not Christian at all. The Bible, what did Jesus say when the Holy Spirit come, what's he going to do? He's going to what? Hide everything? He said he's going to reveal, guide us, teach us, lead us into what? Truth. He didn't come to hide anything, to make it all mysterious and dark and fuzzy and out of focus. And God doesn't have anything to hide. He doesn't have anything to hide, man. For lack of a better way to put it, he is a persona of absolute integrity, honesty, rightness, righteousness, justness, goodness, holiness, purity. He has nothing to hide. So when the Holy Spirit comes, when you have nothing to hide, you can be the most open book in the world, can't you? When you have nothing to hide, that's the way it is. And he said, that's the kingdom he wants to reveal to you and I. All right. Well, my time's up. I won't try to get into something new. But anyway, think on some of these things. Especially the fact that God's making his permanent dwelling place in you. Scotty, if you'll come, if anybody'd like to, we're going to give you an opportunity to give to God tonight, if you'd like to give. When we give to God, what is it? One of the laws, there's several that we're using, but one of them is the law of sowing and reaping, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said, give and it's going to be given back to you. Well, I don't want nothing back. Well, don't give. Because he said, if you give, it's going to come back to you. Isn't that right? I've heard people say this, you ought to give, not expecting anything back. Well, give me a scripture and verse for that. I guess Jesus was mixed up about his own kingdom. Because he said, the law of sowing and reaping, he said, it's always going to be here. Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains. He said, there's going to be law of sowing and reaping. Same thing's true in the kingdom. So here's the thing. Whether you say, I don't want anything back. Well, I don't know why. I don't understand that. But we're glad that you've got all you need. Don't need any more. Just a second there to get your offering ready. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you learned something tonight, or at least we're reminded of some things. We'll get into this in more detail looking at the laws of the kingdom. Okay? Let's pray over your offering. Father, thank you for the ability to to live in the kingdom, to have a kingdom life. And Lord, really, this kingdom life is what everybody is seeking unbeknownst to them. It's the light. It's the life of love, of faith. It is the life of liberty and peace. Lord, it's a life of productivity and joy. Lord, I just thank you for it. We thank you that we are in the kingdom. Receive our gifts now. We give them gladly, and we give you thanking you, Lord, for all of your bounty in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.